All right. Another week. Welcome to Thick Threads, the thickest show on the internet where we go down a rabbit hole of threads on Twitter and Reddit.
Oh, you are struggling through this.
I am your co-host, Patrick Cloud.
And I'm Persephone.
I was adding to it. I was freestyling.
Give
me a little leeway. Niggas put on Louis Vuitton, some designer, and start acting different.
Oh, you feel it?
It's kind of cool.
It's
pretty cool.
I had to do something strange for some change to get this one.
I thought you was sucking dick in a
damn
back alley in Gotham.
Nah, I was just, you know, I just went into the store and did a little dance, and they was like, ooh.
That is strange.
Yes, I said something strange, but
the cut of it is very villainous, like very Gotham City.
Gotham
City high level henchman.
It's just like a varsity jacket.
Like you're not on the street level.
No,
but
never.
you like an executive at Penguin's operation.
Penguin operation. See, I'm in the top office, the executive office.
Well, I'm glad we started off by talking about some money, because my thread has to do with being responsible with your funds.
Oh, well, that's good, because most of us are not.
Well, in this thread, we're going to talk about a couple that is arguing, potentially on the fence of breaking it all off.
Oh, shit. I might even, say, forget the Rochambeau and you go first. But I'm going to tell you what mine is about.
Okay.
Men only. Have a girl ever broken up with you because you were too nice? Share your story. I actually put the opposite on my Twitter.
To men?
No. To men. Have you ever broken up with a woman because she was too nice? So have you ever been broken up with?
Have you ever brought that to the show?
No.
Bring that to the show. Because I feel like...
You want me to bring mine? The Twitter? Mine from
Twitter?
Yeah.
In another episode, bring that, because I would be very interested to know if men think women can be too nice. I know that women are looking for an edge, and like, you gotta keep it exciting and stuff like that. And I know that men want you to keep it exciting too, but I don't know if the excitement comes from them being mean or nice.
I have a story. I always have a story. Mm-hmm. I hadn't been through some things.
Okay.
I'm very generous. Caring. I don't think I'm too nice, but I am a nice person. I'm a kind person, okay. And I like to do for others. And sometimes that gets misconstrued. And I do have a story.
Oh, I do remember saying that you can get heavily involved and start doing quote unquote too much mm-hmm. for a person.
Mm-hmm.
While I don't think it's very valid, mm-hmm. I can see that being a common thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that comfort equals stagnant to a lot of people. When they're comfortable,
right.
They feel like they're not moving in a direction, which is crazy, but because a lot of people are moving down. They're moving downwards, and that's mm-hmm. more exciting to them than them being in a good place moving stagnant. Right. So,
but also, kindness, niceness, and attention. All bundled in a package and given to someone who's not ready to receive it is interpreted as pressure.
That too. However, mm-hmm. defense. I also think that how you're talking about is just misunderstanding. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of times when women are complaining about the dudes who are just like, grand rising queen, what can I do for you today? And they're mm-hmm. just like, ugh. Mm-hmm. And then they respond to the nigga that's just like, what's up, musty bee?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's happening? Mm-hmm. I think that that's labeled as like nice guy finishes last. She wants the bad boy.
Mm-hmm.
But in my personal experience, mm-hmm. I feel like I've never gotten the nice guy thing. In a weird twist of events, a lot of people, whenever this comes up, they put me in the bad boy part, not necessarily because I'm a thug or a criminal, I think that it's mislabeled. I think the whole good guys finish last, people want a bad boy, it has nothing to do with thugness.
It's about fucking with a lot of bitches.
No, that is not where I was going, and this is why you're toxic.
What do I have to do with it?
Because you said that with your whole chest. That's not where I was going.
No, I was talking about as far as maybe your bad boy image misconstrued, because you don't have a bad boy image.
I don't, but maybe. I don't think that the bad boy image is. I think bad boy is a label, because we get that from movies, and it's always like a nerd who's like, "I love you," and they're like, "Nah, forget that." And they get on the back of a motorcycle, and the dude has a leather jacket. And he's failing school. He's like, "Yeah, bad boy." I think that's misconstrued. I think what we're really talking about is fun versus not fun, because the bad boy image, how we've been seeing it, has been like gangsta in trouble with the police.
Thrills.
You're all but it's not really about that. I think it's just as simple as fun, not fun. Because whenever the good guy is talked about, it's never really just like, "I want to do everything for you," slammed in my face.
Well, I told you I don't believe in the good guy.
I think it's just boring. I think it's just like, "What's up, queen? What can I do for you? I'm kissing your toes." Blah 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 blah. Like, I just don't believe women want that. I think they want a little bit more excitement. Than
I don't
that.
Believe in the good guy. I don't think there is a such either. Thing as that. And I've said this in other podcasts.
It's boring and exciting
because everybody has their thing. Everybody has their issue. Everybody has their flaw. Even who's deemed considered the nice guy or the nice girl. So you might not connect with that person because of certain things that they do, but on the outside, people view them as the nice guy, the nice girl. But you know, behind closed doors, this nigga out here like on some bullshit. Yeah.
I'm sure that's on some bullshit.
But
too.
As far as like, I think yes, women. A lot of women are attracted to the bad boy for the thrill and there because there is a lot. There's a lot to do, and there's a lot of. There's an emotional roller coaster that goes with dealing with someone who keeps you confused. Someone who, like, you're always thinking, you're on your toes trying to figure out what's going on. Even though it's toxic, it's not necessarily
but
fun.
But I think you're coming at it from a toxic point of view, which is why you interjected and said, because he has bitches. I don't think it's a toxic thing. I think
that
it's
is
really
bad boy image type stuff being
attracted
to.
That's where I think the mislabel comes from. I don't think it's about, this guy's dangerous, he's exciting, he's a womanizer, and this guy's a perfect goody two shoes and he's nice. Mm-hmm. I think it's what we're really trying to say is exciting and boring. Women
but I don't
go
think
for
that.
But there's a lot of subcategories of bad boy where it's like the dude ain't a thug or like getting in trouble and it's not all that stuff. It's just about excitement. Whereas what we're seeing as a good guy is just not doing anything for the woman. He's just constantly trying to cater and not really like it stimulating her at all. And then that just gets wrapped into
see,
good guy and bad guy.
That's the thing. What you might consider boring, this guy might be into some fun shit, but he's just not. He doesn't have the bad boy label, but some of these quote unquote boring guys are fucking hilarious and fun and, you know, but it's about your chemistry with a person. So if you don't have that chemistry with somebody, maybe because of how he talks to you, maybe you're not connected with him in that way. And this other person that you're dealing with is a little more edgy and you are connected to, you know, maybe there's a chemistry vibe. I don't necessarily think it has to do with like fun versus boring. I think it has to do with keeping emotions on a swivel versus just kind of like smooth sailing with someone.
That's what we're talking about, the same thing.
But I don't think smooth sailing is necessarily boring.
Well, that's why
some people are not comfortable with smooth sailing.
I don't necessarily think when I'm saying boring, I'm talking about just like social boring, like not going out doing the same things. Obviously you could do all that and still have excitement.
Yeah,
I'm talking about your stimulation, you know, like the dude who is just like, "Queen, what can I do for you?" Oh, you did something out of the ordinary, I'm not mad, let's figure this out. Exactly. As opposed to the, like you were saying, the dude who keeps them on their toes, who's exciting and stuff like that. I don't necessarily think that's a lifestyle thing.
I mean, it's vice versa, though.
I think it's a stimulation thing. So if you're really not doing anything for them, it doesn't really matter, like, all the compliments and all the where on the outside people are looking in like, oh, that's such a good man. Why didn't you like them? It's just like, I don't think that that man was stimulating that woman as opposed to a man who doesn't publicly talk to her like she's everything in the world, but then in their private life, she's actually getting stimulation from this
person. I feel like people want things that, or people that they don't necessarily connect with. There's something that they're attracted to with people that they don't actually have chemistry with.
Is it the mystery?
They're running, they're chasing that. They're constantly chasing that to see, like, and I've tried it. I was in a relationship with someone that was deemed the nice guy. And it wasn't necessarily boring because he was very interesting, you know, and he taught me a lot. He was the quintessential nice guy, but there was some shit on the back end that was, you know, that didn't work.
It's weird to separate it bad and nice.
Yeah.
Because it's not that.
But, you know, ultimately it didn't work and we ended up going our separate ways and are now back to having a friendship. But there's also a thrill of the chase, I think, that is something that goes for men and women. Like, you want what you can't have, or you want what's hard to get. So the playing hard to get, in my experience, what I've learned, because I have a problem with, if I like somebody, I have a problem with not showing them that I don't like them as much as I do. It's like I show them. Like, if I like somebody, they're gonna fucking know it, you know? And I don't think that that's necessarily, it doesn't work. So you really do have to go into playing the game, because the niggas that are into me the most are the niggas that I show the least attention.
I think that's right, they will go
to the ends of the world for me until, and I've done this.
Until I start paying attention. That's what I'm
saying. Once I start paying attention, it's like, oh, where'd you go? Where did this other person go?
That's why I'm saying it's not good. It's not good guy, bad guy. Good girl, bad girl, because
it's a thrill of the chase.
In that sense, because I'm like, me saying I fall into the bad boy image
catch
is
and release.
Ridiculous. It's hilarious if you're thinking about what you associate a bad boy with. Mm-hmm. But in your example, you went from bad girl to good girl back to bad girl, and it's like, if you go by those same standards, like, I know you're not necessarily like the bad girl. You're not into some shit. You know what I mean? But it's just. It's just your level of interest. It's your level. It's their level of stimulation. And sadly, with a lot of people, when the other person isn't all the way there, the other person becomes more interested because there's that mystery.
I have to intentionally be like,
back off.
Yep. You're like, okay, you know, hands off. And then
if that works, that's the game.
It works. I hate it though, because it's the most difficult thing to do. It is so challenging to back away and be distant and kind of cold to someone that you like.
At least the want is there, because a lot of people are working with not having that, and they're just naturally halfway in, and they get all of that. But then when it comes time to put all that other stuff in, they got to search, as opposed to you, who's just like, oh, okay. Well, here's a little more.
I just start answering DMs that I wasn't answering before.
Let me just
Let me sort through. Okay. You think I'm too nice? Oh, you're not ready for this. This is too much for you. Okay.
That's when you go into that 99+.
A 99+.
I try to avoid that. By all means.
I avoid it for the most part, but every now and then I slide through to see, like, what's in here.
I've seen some
I got some interesting folks in there. I'm going to save it.
I already know. All right. Well, to get into these thredgicles. I went first last time.
Okay.
I think since we're already talking about it, you can jump into yours.
Okay. Men Only has a girl ever broken up with you because you were too nice? Share your story. And this is actually from Spiritual Word. Yes, yes. Billy Blanks says.
Billy Blanks.
Billy Banks.
Okay.
Billy Banks.
I haven't heard that word in a minute.
Says, I have, and as much as it burns me in the end, I don't know how to be any other way, so I'll keep being a nice guy. Someone will appreciate it someday.
Oh, it's a numbers game. Yeah, I think that the whole women like to be stimulated by the bad boy thing is very, it's a blanket statement. Some women just straight up want the nice guy. Mm-hmm. Some women have dealt with the bad guy so many times that they're just like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to give me a good man who worships me.
This guy said, y'all men need to embrace being labeled corny or too nice. Trust me, it weeds out all of the no good women from your life and a good wholesome woman will come your way. Nah, it worked for me.
That nigga corny. That was a corny thing to
say. I'm kind of cool with the niggas that are labeled corny at this point. Because corny is...
It's not good or bad. You could be a bad boy that's corny.
But corny is funny to me. Like, I like corny niggas. Like, it's just... Now, when I say corny, I mean as corny as in funny, but not niggas that are trying to be something they're not.
Corny
like,
is
shit like that.
Not a humor thing. Corny is an acting thing.
But it is, though. There are gangsters that are corny. From a female perspective. From a female perspective, the type of corny that we are into is the funnier. When it comes down to being corny as with, like, you know, flashing all the money in the camera that you have, and we like, that's your rent money. Like, give that to the landlord.
I think that's the universal corny. Universal is like when people talk about the bad corny, that's like a personality trait, and you can be a good boy. You can be a good guy.
Damn.
A bad boy. Whatever.
I think you can be broke,
you can be rich. That doesn't wash off corny. And I think social media is showing us that a lot of cool people on, you know, rappers, actors, all these people who were way better before social media, before we knew who they were. Once that blanket is off.
But they call some of the guys who do things above and beyond for the woman that they're with, they call them corny.
That's not.
And so
definition.
when we take that and run with it, we're like, well, shit, if that's corny, like when that's they called the Russell Wilson, when they called Russell Wilson corny,
I'll take
a Russell Wilson or a Michael B. Jordan any day. If that's considered corny, I will take that.
I think that's just corny has become a diss word. Mm-hmm. And once something becomes a diss word, it's used in all contexts for a diss.
True.
So, oh, yeah. Russell Wilson. Getting all this money, becoming a full football player, marrying Sierra, and then doing a bunch of stuff for her. Like, when you think about it, like, that's not corny.
It's not
like
corny.
Like the corny definition still stands, and there's plenty of examples.
It's the bad boys that's calling them corny because they're everything that they're not.
Or the good guys that are calling them corny. That's what I'm saying. Corny is both.
I don't think good guys are calling Russell Wilson corny.
I think haters are calling them corny. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, corny doesn't mean the same thing in certain contexts if you're just overall hating.
A woman straight up told me she needs conflict in her relationship sometimes. I knew then that this era wasn't for me. Damn, how can you just tell a dude, like, I need conflict? Like, some people do thrive off of chaos.
Either that woman is just... Here's the thing. I think we try to blanket statement and people try to make it seem like I have one answer to everything, you know? But a woman like that, there's only two options. Either she is just straight up toxic. You could write that off and be like, something happened to her where she just feels the need to argue with people because she was in relationships where all they did was argue, and she thought that was love, and then she got in a relationship where they didn't argue and she felt like the other dude didn't love her or something.
It's where your comfort lies. And sometimes people are very comfortable in chaotic environments. And when you do come across a stable environment or a stable relationship or a stable person, somebody who's secure with themselves, somebody who has things going on, you're a part of their world, you're not their entire world. Like, they want you in it. They don't need you, but they want you. That is sometimes very difficult to digest. And so you find ways to interpret it or project or manipulate it so that either you turn that situation into a conflict or you leave and you go back to your comfort zone where conflict was thriving and it kept you on your toes. And it's like, this is exciting. This is where
You don't think none of this can break down to
childhood?
Oh, no. That's the first thing I said. Yeah. This person could be a one-off. They could just be kind of messed up in the head. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's like, this may be considered toxic or poisonous, but do you think that there's maybe a part of human
anatomy?
I don't know. Just like our DNA. That anatomy. Means we want that conflict. You know what I mean? Like I could see that could be a very toxic answer.
Honestly,
but it's also like, have you ever? I don't even know if I want to admit that.
Go ahead.
Have you ever just been like? Have you ever just been down to get into some stuff? You know?
Right. You wanna. Fucking shoot up the club. You're out here.
Well, that's why I think I think the toxic line is. I think that some people can bring it to other people. Like, okay, for huge example, Black Lives Matter and the masks, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There was a huge outpour of just white suburban moms getting into crazy conflicts with just like baristas, random people on the street, just because it felt like. And all the comments were the same. It's like their life didn't have enough drama.
Titillating.
Their life didn't have enough of that. So they just poured it into this excuse that's like, oh, you don't have a mask? Bah, BLM, you know, Trump, blah, blah. Or, you know, like, it's almost like it was just like emptied into this one area. Don't you think that could potentially be part of human nature?
No, I think that's called maladaptive coping mechanisms. Okay. And that's people who don't know how to really manage their emotions and they're feeling some type of way. And so they start stuff with people who don't deserve it, or they project it, they interpret things. Their whole mindset is based on, I'm feeling this way, so let me. I need someone else. It's transference of energy.
Yeah.
So I need someone else to feel this conflict, this unsettled feeling that I'm feeling. So I'm going to dump this onto them and I'm going to rile them up because now I'm satisfied because I can release this energy. I can release this fuel. I can release this steam, this smoke onto somebody else.
Yep.
And I think sometimes they pick the right one. And then I think if you go into relationships, yeah, I think sometimes the closest person to you is the person that you feel the most comfortable lashing at. So in my past relationships, I've had to tell my ex-boyfriends like, yo, you had problems at work. You had problems with this person. Do not come here and treat me like your punching bag because somebody else made you upset. Because it's very easy to do that with the person you're closest to.
Oh, man. Why? There was a point in probably human history, but the only thing I've read about like American history where the man would go out to work, have just the whole world would shit on him, and they'd just come home and just take it out on their wife.
Take it out on their wife.
Just
lash
take, like,
out.
Wouldn't reach out to any other men or people on their level who could do something. Just go home to the person that's closest to him, who probably cares the most about him, and just take the whole day out of him. And that was like it was almost like a thing that the wife was told they're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. You know, just
it's
let
misplaced
them, let them
anger. It's misplaced anger. So I mean, it could be like you had the worst day at work, and then when you get home, she might say something to you that, you know, super normal.
Dinner's in the fridge.
Yeah. Why the fuck isn't it heating up? I pay all these bills. Yeah. I pay the bills. I just want to come home to, you know, this and that. And it's like, dude, you told me earlier, just put it in the fridge because you wasn't sure what time to come. You were coming home, but something happened.
It's just them. It's just that, them being there. You move that aside.
Yeah.
They're just. projecting in the worst way possible.
So that's why therapy is so important. And that's why
cherry on top.
Yeah. Right, for real. Cause I actually just put up a tweet. I just put up a tweet on Twitter that said, what do you do? What are the things that you do when you're pissed off? Like, what's your favorite thing to do when you're pissed off? It is another thread. I'm gonna bring that because I got some really good responses.
Good.
But it was like some people said, hey, I come on social media to troll. You know? So there was some people like, okay, I look for negativity to take out on strangers because I'm pissed off. So it's just like
loads of sense.
Yeah. Flows into all that. And I've dealt with that on the back end. And then I've caught myself doing it before where I'm like, ah, damn, I really just took that out on him. But I, in my maturity, I will come back and say, I apologize for the way I reacted to this. This is what was going on with me. And I hope you understand and you accept my apology, and then we can move forward. That is how I process conflict.
Probably goes a long way.
But that is not the most comfortable for other people.
No, it's not. But mm-hmm. I feel like it explains everything. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? If you have anytime you have an outburst and you're mature enough to A, recognize it, but then B, be like, hey.
It's accountability.
All that back there was not you. Mm-hmm. I was tripping. Mm-hmm. I feel like that means the world to the other person because they were mm-hmm. on the receiving end of that. Just like, what is going on mm-hmm. right now? What did I do? Mm-hmm. So for you to come back and be like, hey, that mm-hmm. was because of this. It was not because mm-hmm. of you. Sorry, you were just my punching bag for the moment. Mm-hmm. Even though you said that, it's like they already felt like a punching bag.
Right.
So for you to address it and be like, this is why, even though maybe shouldn't have happened that's a good move.
The only downside to that is that I don't ever really receive that same energy.
Well, that's why it's good for us to say it right now.
Yeah, so it would be
you're
nice.
A therapist, like you just have to realize that you were literally like your field mm-hmm. taught you how to process things and mm-hmm. and I remember like I used to have therapist friends before I went into college mm-hmm. and I really considered it because I was just like, you guys have a cheat code. Like mm-hmm. you guys basically broke down not only how you think, but how people think. And once you realize that most negativity coming to you is coming from a very sad mm-hmm. place, I'm like, you guys are almost like argument proof. Like, how do you even get mad at somebody else when you understand everything?
Right.
You know, you kind of just like, that's why as I get older, I'm way less of a hothead because mm-hmm. it's like, not only do I just not have the energy for a lot of things, like I feel like I just understand and see mm-hmm. things differently.
Because you read people, and once you read people and you're able to, this is the key to what I'm able to do. Mm-hmm. I am truly able to step into the other person's shoes and to think about, empathy. Okay, if I was this age, if I was in this situation, if, you know, and I break down the entire situation in reverse, how would I interpret this? Now, I can't fully know someone else's experience, but all I can do is say, okay, if I was here and this person said this to me, how would I respond? And when I'm able to reverse it and I say, okay, I could see how he could interpret what I said like this, mm-hmm. even if my intentions were different, I don't know if it's a skill or if I just practiced it. I had to practice it.
Still putting accountability on you. Sometimes it can be nothing to do with you.
Yeah, but then sometimes I'm like, nah, that motherfucker was still wrong. Even when I step into that, even when I step into their shoes, I'm like, okay, no, I wasn't wrong with this. And I'm very justified in how I responded. And I'm going to address the situation, let it be known. And then, you know, we can go from there. And if he doesn't take accountability for, you know, doing X, Y, and Z when he truly was wrong, then it's like, what am I doing here? Do I stick around to help him figure this out?
No.
You know, or
I think you
but I have to understand
strong suggestions, but it's not anybody's job to fix the other person.
Absolutely. There, it is not. But sometimes it's a balance of, is it worth it for me to stay and allow this person to work through some of those issues, or is it not worth it? And should I just be like, so it's a balance. Because when you start to understand things, like working with sex offenders, I had to accept the master manipulative ways of people who commit the most heinous acts. But
that's why
ever.
That's why I have to keep interjecting. It's because it's like listening to a nigga who's a master of karate give advice to walk through the worst neighborhoods of all time. It's like you can't tell other people to do that. You got that training. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I feel like your training to deal with those people doesn't apply to everybody.
Right.
And the patience you might have for somebody might be a little bit more elevated. And I don't think everybody
Which is why I said I really have to balance it, because I recognize that I'm in an advanced state of emotional intelligence because a lot of people don't go to therapy, don't study the psychology of people, even sociology of people. So, you know, some people, everybody's on their own journey. And sometimes if it's worth it enough for you to say, okay, this, I'm willing to stick around for this, or I'm not willing to stick around for this, for me, it's like, okay, I see where you're at. But I don't know. I don't know if I could do it, or I might. I might meet somebody who has emotional intelligence up here, but at the same time, I'm connected to somebody whose emotional intelligence is down here. So it's like, it's a balance, and
I feel
it's a lot, you know, but
it is,
you know, you got to allow people to be who they are. And that's one of my philosophies with dealing with people is I have to allow you to be who you are. I have to allow you to go through your experiences. I have to allow you to grow. I can't like fuss at you, or, you know, I have to understand if I'm going to be around you, I'm have to understand where you are, who you are, from just the perspective of being able to deal with you physically, mentally, emotionally, you know, and what energy I'm going to give it. So, yeah, it's a lot. But
you maketh sense, though.
Make a sense.
I think that's a strong point to be made.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I love your just, all right.
Yeah. It's a couple times like, I'm like over here adjusting, like, all right.
Well, I saw. Let me just, but shit, sometimes. All right. Sometimes you just gotta get it out.
I think it's a strong point to be made for relationships.
Absolutely.
But I think the overall is stimulate your partner. Don't let them get bored out here.
Oh, God.
And if you see
it, is that what we were talking about? Oh.
If they're getting bored over you being nice, stop being nice. You'll see a change.
Period. That motherfucking part.
Weird advice, but true. All right. Financial issues between couples.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Oh, I'm sorry. You have to do your thread.
You see how I'm working over here? I'm go over ahead. Here like,
Look, why did I go to facts? Say less. I'm just,
Jesus.
Go ahead. That's your twin.
If you like long episodes, thank her.
Hey, when you be fucking bitches, do they call you Jesus?
I've been called Jesus.
You look like
she was on acid,
Black
though.
Jesus.
But
God damn!
All right, we were both on acid. I should say.
I called you Jesus before. You look like him to me.
When my hair is down, you never
Jesus
know.
Devante Christ.
I think Jesus looked more like me than
I absolutely
the church
agree
depicts.
With you. 100%.
The church depiction of Jesus is like long-haired Keanu Reeves.
I watched The Messiah. Have you watched The Messiah?
No.
Ah, such a good show. That Jesus looked kind of like, called Messiah.
I would never watch a TV show about Jesus.
Well, It's fire.
All right. Well, guess what else is fucking fire? This thread.
Let's hear it.
That's how I have to force.
Don't do that.
So I have to force transition.
You be bantering back and forth just like me.
That's how I have to force transition out here.
Jesus.
Huh?
Oh.
Did you call me?
I did. Father God.
All right. This is from the Shrade Room.
The Shrek Room.
The Shrade Room. This is from the Shade Room.
Okay.
What you gonna text back?
Ooh.
This went viral. This is a conversation between a couple about the upcoming Beyonce tickets.
I got my tickets. I got three tickets.
Well, it's March now. The pre-sale has passed, but it's for later this year. And I brought this up to you, obviously, because you are a Beyonce fan.
I'm not just holy.
And your response was surprisingly,
fan.
It was what?
Fan.
Oh, sorry, student.
I am
cockwriter.
Cockwriter.
Beehive.
She doesn't have a
keeper.
Cock.
Beekeeper. Whatever.
I am thick Beyonce.
So fan.
I love Beyonce. No, not just
super,
a fan.
Super fan.
Been to every concert and I buy tickets. I am a Beyonce groupie.
Okay. I was trying to figure out what term you wanted to hear.
If she asked me, I would definitely.
You'd go down on Beyonce?
Probably.
On
stage? I don't see myself on stage.
Yeah, if she had like a some of her Illuminati people around her, there's a
Illuminati?
There's
a nigga, it sounds like I don't really have a choice.
No, this is a regular concert. All her performances look like that. There's a goat head in the back, bunch of women with fucking suns around their head, and she's just like,
publicly,
eat this pussy. You wouldn't munch her on stage?
Absolutely fucking not.
Yeah, right. Okay, well... Let's see what people would do for a Beyonce ticket. All right,
man,
I'm gonna read a conversation on
Beyonce. I want to probably taste like gold.
Beyonce's pussy?
Yes. Probably tastes like apricot scrub.
Beyonce's pussy apricot. Probably tastes like
glow. Probably tastes like the sun.
Probably tastes like Egyptian apples and plums.
Yes, the fucking organic
Egyptian fruits,
big and just non-GMO, vegan.
I can see that.
Fucking.
It probably tastes like ancient artifacts, too.
Eat it and your hair grow way longer.
A little 1300 BC in there.
Sea moss benefits.
All right.
You know, just like
all right.
Antioxidants. Okay.
Let me get into this shit.
Go.
What you gonna text back? All right, I'm going to go back and forth because there's not a lot of double text. I'm going to go back and forth between the woman and the man. Spoiler alert, this is all the woman's fault.
Ah, of course it is. They've been waiting for you to say that. They hate how I've been advocating.
Beyonce tickets are about to go on sale. Who's in the right? Who's in the wrong?
Got it.
Woman starts.
Mm-hmm.
Babe. Puppy eyes.
Babe.
Yeah, babe. I love you. Hard eyes, hard eyes.
I love you.
What do you think his response is? I love you too. Love what? You. What do you want? What's going on?
Hear me out.
Babe, I really want to go to the Bay concert. It's in July and pre-sale for tickets goes on sale for 216. Not 216, 2/16.
Mm-hmm.
You know they more than that. Mm-hmm. You don't have to get me a V-Day gift or a B-Day gift. I just want to see Beyonce, please. So...
She said it nicely.
Off rip, Beyonce fan, compromising, no V-Day gift, no B-Day gift, which I don't believe when women say. I'm not even going to lie. When y'all are like, you don't have to do anything for my birthday, my funeral. You don't have to do anything for my mom's birthday.
Funeral?
You don't got to do anything for Christmas, July 4th. Just get me this. And it's like, okay. And then all those things happen and they're like, nothing.
You should believe it.
Yeah, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's
a long-lasting experience. I know.
Sends a screenshot, Nashville, Tennessee, circles the time, all that stuff.
Okay.
Man, come on now. We agreed to not spend money on entertainment until we save enough for our house.
Okay.
We've been saving 10 months. Can't do it, babe. Sorry. Woman, I'm begging you. She doesn't do concerts often. This is a once-in-a-lifetime thing. This would really make me happy, babe. Please.
I mean, it's been, I think it's been a few years.
I'll give everybody their due protection and their due backup. Let me finish. All right. You told me last year an engagement would really make you happy. I did that.
Tia got engaged to her, so it would make her happy. Red flag.
Then you said a house would really make you happy. We made a deal to not waste money on stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Her tickets start at $600 for nosebleed.
Yeah, it's pretty. It's out here.
Without taxes. Yeah. And fees.
Oh, because it's going to triple.
Oh. Taxes and fees?
Oh, yeah.
You might get a $1,200 tax. You're like, nigga, ticket was six.
It's going to be $1,800 by the time you check out.
We can't do it. Once we get this house, we can have fun. Stay focused, babe. Still being nice. Woman. So it's a no. When the tickets go on sale, they won't last long. She right. will be sold out in hours.
Absolutely.
I'm begging you, and you're still saying no.
Okay. She's right about a lot of things.
Let's get to the end. Man, no.
Okay.
Stay on course, babe. We will talk about this later. I love you.
He's a
Kissy
reasonable
face.
Guy.
Overly.
He's a reasonable
guy. I'd have lost my shit already. Especially if there was a conversation. Oh, we'll get to that.
His emotional intelligence is higher than yours.
Higher yes. than mine.
Okay.
Wait. Some of that money is mine, though.
Ooh.
There's the line.
The red line.
I know I gave you at least $1,000 towards the house fund.
Wait. Okay. Keep going.
It's not that many slides. We will go by one by one.
All right.
Please give me my money, and I'll pay it back later. Man, are you serious? Whatever her name is. Tell me you're joking. Woman, I'm very serious. When can I pick it up?
Not when can I pick it up. Y'all engaged? When can I pick it up? Don't you? They don't live together?
Yeah, right?
That's crazy.
You're telling me Beyonce is more important than our dream house we've been saving 10 effing months for.
Wait. $1,000? She giving $100 a month to the house fund?
Great math.
Ah,
city by the
girls,
way. Fucking girls. Great math. You contributed $710.
Ah!
She said $1,000. She rounded up quite a bit. She could have rounded up to $800. She could have rounded down to $700.
She volleying for nosebleeds. Ah.
She could have rounded down to $700 and said took an L on that $10 and that would have been better than rounding up to 800. She rounded up to 1,000 and threw it in the nigga face. So I know exactly why he pulled out the exact number, because he was like, you ain't about to do this. He said, you contributed $710 to the fund. The rest is me. You promised to be responsible. Even after that, I want my money.
Mm.
Here's the dude. Okay, I'll withdraw it today and you can pick it up. The engagement is off. I need
whoa,
a break.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Hang on. Don't, no. Don't hear all that bullshit from the girl and then turn on him when he says one thing
I'm
that's
not,
reasonable.
I'm not turning on him, but
hang
it
on.
Just seems kind of like, okay.
No,
it just seems kind of immediate.
No. You ain't going to get on my boy. You ain't going to get on my boy.
I'm not getting on him. I'm saying it's just kind of quick where he's like, okay, come get it. The engagement's off. Like, through text message.
Okay, no. We're going to break this shit down. Last message. What? So you're breaking up with me for my money? For asking for my money? Fine. Text me when I can pick it up. Bye. Okay. So let's just go by this step by step, since clearly we have differing opinions
mm-hmm.
on the ending of this. Okay?
Okay.
So first slide. Babe. Yeah, babe. I love you. I love you too. What's going on? I really want to go to the Bay concert. It's in July. Presale. Blah, 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 blah. Don't have to give me a V-Day gift. B-Day gift. I just want to see Beyonce. Please. Okay?
Got
so. Let's just break that down.
Okay.
Girl, woman, huge fan of Beyonce.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? She wants to go to someplace. It's a little expensive for the couple. That's it. I don't think this first slide needs a lot. Okay? Second slide. Come on now. We agreed to not spend money on entertainment until we save enough for our house. We've been saving for 10 months. Can't do it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Response. I'm begging you. She doesn't do concerts often. This is a once-in-a-lifetime thing. This would really make me happy, babe. Please. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Up until now... it's pretty reasonable, right?
Yeah.
But let's break it down.
Mm-hmm.
These two are in a financial tight space,
mm-hmm.
But for reasons I will never understand, they still decided to get engaged. Okay. If you can't afford Beyonce, I personally don't think you can afford a marriage, but not the story.
Okay.
Put everything aside. Clearly had a meeting. Clearly had a financial meeting where they decided who's the more responsible person. Seems like he was. Mm-hmm. They both agreed to put him in charge of the money.
Right.
And they even made a deal, no entertainment. Okay?
Okay.
That's where I'm standing. Okay. Let's just stamp this part as where I'm standing. They had a meeting where they both agreed, me as the man, I'm the responsible one. You've been really rough with money, really spendy with money. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, let's have rules.
They
set the rules. They set the precedent.
They say you're supposed to marry someone, and they, whoever they is, you're supposed to marry someone or be with someone who is stronger in the areas that you lack.
Absolutely.
So if you lack financial literacy, then you should be with someone who is a bit stronger in the financial department.
Absolutely.
So I'm here with you.
So hats off to both of them for having that conversation, realizing who of them is the responsible mm-hmm. one, and leaving them in charge. And on top of that, making rules. Know this, know that. One absolutely. Of the rules, no entertainment, right? So me as the man, or forget the man. Let's say that the woman was the more responsible person.
Okay.
You as the one that was chose between the two have to be like, okay, this is my responsibility. And we've all been in a scenario where you and somebody else make a deal, and then that same person tries to egg you on to go back on that deal. And either you say, ah, fuck it, whatever, or you say no. We've all been in that scenario. And in our mind, we're like, nigga, you were there. You helped me make this deal, but it happens.
Yeah.
Okay. So he's still pretty nice. She's asking for the tickets. He's saying we can't do it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Him. You told me last year an engagement would really make you happy. I did that. Then you said a house would really make you happy. We made a deal not to waste money on stuff like that. Her tickets are at $600, blah, 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 blah. We can't do this. Okay.
He really loves her.
Her. So it's a no. When the tickets go on sale, they won't last long. She will be sold out in hours. I'm begging and you're still saying no. Now, to me, this is still salvageable, right? Because in her defense, if you guys agreed no entertainment, I got it, right? Mm-hmm. But if you say no entertainment and then they say on the news, Michael Jackson just rose from the dead. He's doing a concert in your city. Mm-hmm. I could see why they'd be like, all right. I know we said no entertainment, but this is my favorite person ever. This is a once-in-a-lifetime champion, which I don't think it is. Once-in-a-lifetime chance.
I like what you're doing right now.
I'm trying.
Because I see it. I see you stepping into the shoe of...
I'm just trying to keep it even because yes, I don't think it's very balanced, but I want to keep it as balanced as possible.
I see it. I see it.
Okay.
So I don't have to do all the work that I was going to do.
No, I appreciate
it. Because you're right there.
I appreciate it. Step into her shoes. I know we said no entertainment. Low key, when I said that, I meant stop buying stuff on Amazon, stop mm-hmm. going to movies. But this is my favorite artist ever. She rarely performs. How about just this time, right?
And I'm going to go a step further and just say, I'm just going to say, 10 months, no entertainment. That is quite a long time to have no entertainment. So,
oh no, you see, I'm doing my best to be fair.
Yes, you are. And this is just buying the tickets for later. So there's still no entertainment because I don't know when she performs.
Saying no entertainment until we get to our goals is a little rough.
I'm going to go into setting goals that are unrealistic, even though they sound good, and
what did you want him to do?
No. I'm not fighting against him. Honestly, I feel like he's the more responsible one. He's the right in this situation. I think there's still an aspect of where she's coming from as far as if this is somebody she's obsessed with, which, I mean, some people have that, some people don't. But as a Beyonce fan myself, I go to every single concert.
Okay.
Every concert, I've spent a shit ton of money going to these concerts.
Right.
I have 3 tickets to go to said concert right now, even though I'm going to sell them so that ultimately I pay zero.
I get what you're trying to say.
But if I didn't have, sometimes not having does something to the wiring of your brain to make you want it even more than if you actually had it.
I get that. So that can happen to somebody who just has personal goals. This was goals that were shared with somebody. And the biggest thing that this slide tells me is that he is doing a lot of this stuff per her request.
Yes.
The engagement she asked for. Right. She asked for the house. So I get it. Like, going 10 months without entertainment is rough, which is why I started. That's why I started with saying, you guys can't afford to get married right now.
Mm-hmm.
That is what I think. That's the most responsible place to start. If you have to have no entertainment and just look at each other for a full year and a half before you get the house, you're more than likely going to run into problems based on that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll get the house and you guys don't really want to be together.
So this is what I'm going to say. The only thing that he did wrong, right? It was like negative reinforcement. Do you know what negative reinforcement is?
I don't. I don't agree. Okay. He said, so, stay but focused, this is the we'll get to that.
That's not the negative reinforcement I'm talking about. The negative reinforcement is, oh, you wanted this. He doesn't say whether he wanted to get engaged or not. He said, I did this for you. Which for me is like, if you wanted to get engaged, you get engaged. But you're saying you wanted this, so I gave.
He's only saying the word "you" because she's asking him for money.
He's saying you wanted to do this, so she knows now because he's reinforced these things that she's asked for. She knows now that if I beg or if I say I want this, ultimately I'm gonna get it no matter what. So
what?
It's so basically. He's reinforced her getting her way.
How?
In the relationship. Because he's putting it on her.
He's saying that you got everything that
you
want.
Yes, you wanted this.
That's why he was saying, if we keep going with this, you'll get the house you want.
But what I'm saying is, now she's like, I want this Beyonce concert. Beyonce should be less than an engagement.
Right.
So if you gave me the engagement because I asked for it, how come you can't give me Beyonce tickets? You know what I'm saying?
That's
like it's
ridiculous.
It
is.
That
logic is terrible.
It is.
I don't
but
agree at all.
You don't have to agree for some people to think that way. So what I'm saying is, he, in his hindsight, he can't put "I did this for you" decisions for us. I did for you. He needs to be more like, okay, if this is what I want, he probably shouldn't have proposed to her if it was all because of what she wanted.
Well, no, I mean, it seems like she's not responsible with money. I've never had this conversation with somebody. Well, I've never been engaged, but also it's like, if she was more responsible with money, this wouldn't have had
I feel like it's clear that she's the one that's in the wrong.
So that means they both came to that conclusion and left him in charge with the money for a reason.
Absolutely.
So it's weird for her to be acting like this when money comes up and he's trying to just hold his ground.
It's not weird. It makes sense. It makes sense why she would act like this. She's not the financially responsible
person.
They
had an agreement and a meeting.
But she's not financially responsible.
But the reason why they had this meeting was because she acknowledged that.
Right. So what I'm saying is, you could see this coming. She's not responsible financially. So of course she's going to... This is a bad financial decision for her. So,
but
of course, she's going to make
Get to, we didn't even get to the final slide, which is the most telling. So you can just take her being a responsible.
She's not responsible.
Or just being her, like, a reasonable human being out of it.
Yeah, she's not.
Because of the spot that we never really got to yet.
I'm trying to avoid talking about the obvious. The obvious is that she's financially irresponsible. The obvious is that she's
right,
in the wrong.
I think that the more we go, the less you should have to defend, because there's a point in time where it's like, okay, let's just go about this. And she asked, he said no because of their agreement. It could have ended there. Mm-hmm. Ah, you're right. Mm-hmm. Then she goes into, I'm begging. This is once in a lifetime. He reiterates the deal, says that the reason why they're in this deal is because of things that she asked for. Regardless of if this is what they both want, if she asked for it and pushed him for it, you have to acknowledge him for doing that. And that's the only reason why it was brought up later, because he felt like, okay, even if I wasn't really down to get mm-hmm. engaged at the time, I love you, so I'm still going to do it. Mm-hmm. Then
and that's where he went wrong.
Where?
You don't get engaged to someone because that's what they really want.
Okay.
So I'm saying it reinforces the negative, like, if I want this, I'm going to get it no matter what. He can't go against himself even if he's not ready.
But
you know what I'm saying?
That's not even the part that I really want to focus on.
Okay.
So it gets to a point where it's like, okay, this is a once in a lifetime and I'm begging. You're still saying no. He says, no, stay on course, babe. We will talk about this later. I love you, kissing face. So mm-hmm. he wasn't mad. He was still super nice. He held his ground, which is what she asked him to do in this agreement.
He's very reasonable.
And when it came up, now the only thing that I would say he could have done, which I don't think was necessary, but the only thing that potentially he could have done was say, okay, if you do get this, just mm-hmm. know that the house is pushed back. You know what I mean? Like,
for sure.
If you really, really want to do this to the point where you're calling the card and saying, forget about the conversation we had, this is what I want, you're telling me no, I'm begging, blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, you're being a little weird. Mm-hmm. You can have this. The house is coming later. But
I like that he put his foot down in this situation.
Because that's what they agreed
on. Yeah, he put his foot down and he said, no. This is why I'm financially responsible and you're not. This is why I'm in charge and you're not. But so ultimately, she didn't understand why at this point she couldn't get her way with him because she's gotten her way in the past, mm-hmm. whether he wanted to or not.
Okay. Well, either way, I think it was a reasonable conversation on both of their ends up until now.
Right.
Then here's where the line is crossed. Wait, some of that money is mine, though. I know I gave you at least $1,000 towards the house fund. Please give me my money and I will pay it back later. So
she tripping.
At this point, she's saying, like, okay, even though we agreed to hold out, now all of a sudden it's not both of their money. Mm-hmm. It's his and hers, which she shouldn't have played that card if she didn't. I would have only played that card if I had put mm-hmm. in more.
That she put
this
in.
Is where, yeah, this is where it gets tricky. She claims to have put in more than she has, and she even said that. Now, if me and somebody else were putting a group fund together and my funds weren't on the same level as theirs and I was just putting in when I could and it was mostly them, you can't bring that up in an argument, especially if favoring you. So she comes through and it's just like, some of that money is mine. I gave you at least $1,000. Give me my money and I'll pay it back later. Meaning, like, this is a group account. And on her end, I will give her some defense. She said she'll pay it back. Now it's on some stuff that's like, my end is my end and I will replace the money that I take out.
I think this is when he realized that the...
this ain't a partnership.
That her financial irresponsibility was real.
Yeah.
Like, this is not...
She would,
like,
take it out of the group account.
Right. So if he was not with her,
right,
she would be sleeping under the bridge for these tickets.
And the fact he came back and was like, actually, it was 710. Chill with that at least 1,000 mm-hmm. shit. But it's also like, in 10 months, I don't know, you know, to be fair, we don't know what the total number of savings are. It right. could be just double 710. You know, they both put in the same amount. Mm-hmm. But I think for her to call on her specific when it came down to it is very telling in a relationship. It's just like, we agreed to this, we agreed to this, until it came down to you not getting your way. Mm-hmm. And now you're pulling out what mm-hmm. I wasn't even considering mine and yours. I was just putting in off of strength.
Right.
But now I see you're seeing the splits in it. So it's like, okay, are you serious? Tell me you're joking. I'm very serious. When can I pick it up? Ultimatum. You're telling me Beyonce is more important than our dream house we've been saving 10 months for. You contributed 710. You promised to be responsible. He reiterates. All she says is, I want my money.
the fact that he believed her, you promised to be responsible when it comes to somebody who's financially irresponsible. It ain't that.
You're telling me Beyonce is more important than what we had agreed upon? I want my money? Bet. At this point, I would give all 710 back. You good. Okay, I withdraw it today. You can pick it up. The engagement is off. I need a break. Now she's weird about it. And I think that in her mind, it was all about how can I see Beyonce? Mm-hmm. In his mind, it was like, I already know. In his mind, he was probably like all the entertainment that he didn't do mm-hmm. and he put off because of their conversation. And then on top mm-hmm. of that, it's okay. Now I know that whatever we're in together, at any point, you could pull out of because of what you want, regardless of what we put me in charge for.
I think she has FOMO. And some people don't realize, but some people don't realize how deep that goes. So there are levels to the fear of missing out.
Beyonce ain't sick. She gonna
perform
more. I said
fear of missing out. So the fear of missing out on certain things causes some people to go into psychosis,
yeah.
literally. And I feel like she's not the only person that went nuts over these tickets. People were going crazy.
It's Beyonce. Over, she got fans. That doesn't mean that if you yes. are not in a financial situation to buy them, yes. you should.
I don't think that she should be going. Honestly, I'm the type of person that that's what I'm saying. I'm saying they shouldn't have got engaged in the first place.
Financial and
Lincoln. He didn't understand. First, he didn't understand how strong her financial irresponsibility was when he got into this agreement with her.
Right.
So it's
she's
like
bad
she's really bad. Like, I don't think he knew that she would be willing to jeopardize their relationship over FOMO.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, but for her, whatever it is, where it stems from, is deeper than just, you know, I just want to go to this concert. There's some type of connection that she has to either spending or being in these places, but she ain't got enough to get really past nosebleeds. You know, so the fact that
right,
you
even
are
if she pulled
risking,
out the 710, it
yeah,
would be nosebleeds.
Even though you're risking your engagement to the man you're supposedly in love with mm-hmm. to sit in the nosebleeds?
Well, if you're going to do it, save up when you can really do it. Like, there's been so many scenarios where I was like, this is cool, but I could have just waited and done it right, you know?
If I was in this situation, my compromise would be, okay, I've only sent 710 for this. Let me pick up another gig. Babe, can I do Uber Eats
and cover
earn
it?
That money so that I can purchase
get the money outside of the agreement.
Get the money outside of the
Absolutely.
Agreement. So my 9-to-5 job, I'm still giving what I was giving these 10 months, but I want to pick up another job.
That might prompt him to be like, okay, at least you're being reasonable. Let me do something else on the side to do something. So at least it
right.
falls on it's being extra. He doesn't feel like as the man he was put in charge of something and folded on it.
Right.
And he's not making you pick up all this extra money. You know what
right.
I mean? Because he seemed like he was willing to work with her.
Right. So he's a very financially responsible and reasonable guy.
Well.
But he's been, I mean, people deal with their opposites. Sometimes you don't realize how opposite you are until
it crackles down.
Damn.
All right, guys. It's time to get into these thick-ass facts. My fact is something I've actually always wondered about ever since the first time I went to Disneyland.
Oh, okay. Disneyland. Okay.
The fact is about Disney World, which I've never been to.
I've been.
But I've only been to Disneyland, and I've seen a smaller version of this, so I can only imagine how it is in Disney World.
The only time I went to Disney World, I was young, and I caught the flu, and I could not enjoy it because I was toe up. Sucked.
That's rough.
Yeah.
Disney World or Land?
Disney World in Florida.
Oh, okay.
I had the flu, and I just remember, like, just...
Vomit?
Not vomit, but just I couldn't enjoy anything because I was toe up.
Okay.
So I gotta go again.
Well, anyone who likes Disney knows that the fireworks display is insane.
Absolutely.
I know that the Disneyland out here, they do a fireworks celebration every single day. It's crazy. It's a lot of fireworks. So I can only imagine Disney World is literally maybe 10 or 20 times that size. So my fact is this. Disney World is the second largest purchaser of explosives in the whole United States. Do you want to take a guess on what number one is?
The U.S. military.
It had to be. No, for sure.
It is?
Yes.
I was right.
Disney World is the second largest purchaser of explosives, only second to the military.
Get out of here.
The only one who buys more bombs than our military is
That's
Disney World.
Crazy that an entertainment company.
How does this not
bombs?
Trickle? How does this not trickle to monopolies? Because if That's, this, if well, a company has that
is.
Much money, they're clearly
Disney
on some shit.
For sure is a monopoly.
That's why it's crazy that they dodge monopoly laws. But it's like mm-hmm. this fact alone, they buy explosives more than anybody but our military lets them know that they have. Their power is insane.
That's nuts.
They are probably...
So is this just for Disney World in Orlando?
Yep.
Or is this Disney as an entire...
World.
Company? Just the floor.
Disney See, World, not including us.
Not including... Wow. Wow.
Unless for some reason Disney World is the name of the umbrella LLC, but I would assume it's just Disney.
This is Disney, isn't it?
Yeah. So if they said Disney World, I would assume... They're the second largest purchaser, and then Disneyland might be somewhere else in there.
Conglomerate.
So imagine that. I'm glad you said that. Disney World, out of everything Disney owns, Disney World is the second highest purchaser of explosives. And then Disneyland is probably on that list, too. And then they have money for everything else that they're
My
doing.
My goodness.
Insane.
That is nuts.
In-freaking-sane.
So,
what
we gotta go to Disney World. I need to see these
bombs. See the bombs for yourself?
Mm-hmm. All right. So my fact, it's a little informational, and it goes into an interest that you and I both have. But I'm going to ask it in the form of a question and see if you get it right. You ready?
Yeah.
Does time go faster at the top of a building compared to the bottom?
Well, considering I've been in an airplane before, I would assume it's the same.
Yes, time goes faster the further away you are from the Earth's surface compared to the time on the surface of the Earth. This effect is known as the gravitational time dilation. It is predicted by Einstein's theory of general relativity and has been verified by multiple times by experiments. The gravitational field is really a curving of space and time. The stronger the gravity, the more space-time curves, and the slower time itself processes. How you feel about that?
I kind of don't get it. I mean, it makes sense. Like, niggas who go out to space for a minute, like, they can be, depending on what they're doing out there, they can be mm-hmm. experiencing time way slower and come back and see their kids old and shit. We've seen
Oh,
that.
like Interstellar?
Interstellar, yep.
Oh, I love Interstellar so much.
But that close to the Earth makes no sense because if you're on a plane, you're 30,000 feet above, which is way mm-hmm. higher than buildings. So it's like, you aging in the sky? Like, are you landing?
But the time it takes to fly from one place to another
So how
could,
does our how does our
could.
Time match people's?
But what I'm saying is... It could take that into consideration when they develop flight time. When they say it takes
about this
time. So
we could take a 6-hour flight, but somebody on the ground waited 6.5 hours?
Right. So basically what this is saying is if you drove, say you could drive at the speed of an airplane, right? It's still going to take you longer on the ground to get to your destination than it would for you to get to your destination at 30,000 feet.
What if that's why we had different time zones? Maybe it's
the elevation.
Maybe it's 3 hours ahead in New York, because if we flew there, something would happen to make what I'm saying make sense. You know what I'm saying? All right. Well, I don't understand that one, but this is.
Well, let us know in the comments if you can explain it better for Pat.
Yeah, you guys, just at this point, y'all do the research and let us know. But we know it's true because of our sources.
Nevertheless, it's,
but sometimes it's we don't be digging. Mm-hmm. But apparently, if you fly to London, you're going to age a little bit. I don't. I'm kind of just flabbergasted. I don't got nothing. But those are definitely very interesting.
There you have it, folks. I have stumped our genius Pat.
Stumped? Mm-hmm. What do you mean stumped?
You say you have no words. You are the king of one-liners.
I just
and
need
comebacks,
to figure out what this is.
And you have nothing. So I feel
he's
like
just getting
my
wrinkles and eye bags on the plane because we aging and stuff. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, those were some pretty crazy facts. Hopefully you guys research further. Mm-hmm. Further than us.
Further than us.
Further than us.
Further than us.
This has been another episode of Thick Threads. I've been your co-host, Patrick Cloud.
And I'm Persephone.
And we will see you at the next explosion.